You ever hear a story so good you almost don't believe it? I'm Tail Dragger, and you're listening to The Hangar right here on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair for this one. It's August of 1929, Cleveland, Ohio, the National Air Races. This is the biggest aviation spectacle in the country, and the main event is the Thompson Trophy Free-for-All Pylon Race. The fastest airplanes in America tearing around a closed course at treetop level, wingtip to wingtip. And in 1929, the fastest airplanes in America all belonged to the United States military, Curtiss Pursuit Ships, Army Racers. These are purpose-built speed machines flown by the best military pilots the services can offer. The crowd expects them to dominate. The military expects them to dominate. Nobody is worried about the civilian entries. And then a strange airplane appears on the ramp at Cleveland. It has no markings anyone recognizes, no military insignia. It's small, sleek, painted dark, and nobody knows a thing about it. The team that brought it won't talk about it. They keep it under a tarp when they're not working on it. Mechanics on the field start calling it the mystery ship, because that's exactly what it is. A mystery. Now here's where it gets interesting. That airplane was the Travel Air Model R, and it came from Wichita, Kansas, built by the Travel Air Manufacturing Company, which at the time was run by a group of men whose names you might recognize. Walter Beach, Clyde Cessna. Herb Rawdon did the design work. These were not nobodies. These were the people who would go on to build some of the most important aircraft companies in general aviation history. But in 1929, they were hungry. They were a small outfit in Kansas, and they had something to prove. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So Walter Beach and his team had been working on the Model R in secret. Herb Rawdon designed the thing from the ground up for one purpose, speed, nothing else. It was a wire-braced monoplane with a massive Wright J6 9-cylinder, radial up front, putting out about 300 horsepower. The fuselage was tight. The cowling was clean, every surface was fared and smoothed. For 1929, this was radical. Most racing airplanes of the day were biplanes. The military was still flying biplanes. And here comes this little monoplane from a factory in Kansas that looks like it fell out of the future. They didn't advertise it, they didn't talk to the press, they hauled it to Cleveland, put it on the ramp, and let people stare. The pilot was Doug Davis, a Georgian, a barnstormer. A man who had been flying anything with wings since the early 20s. He was not a military test pilot, he was not backed by the government, he was a civilian racing pilot, and he was about to fly the most important race of his life against the fastest airplanes the Army and Navy had. Picture the scene. The Thompson Trophy course was a closed pylon race, 10 laps around a roughly 10-mile course marked by pylons on the ground. You had to bank around each pylon, stay low, and keep your speed up. Miss a pylon, and you're disqualified. The turns were brutal. The airplanes were fast. And the whole thing happened maybe 100 feet off the ground, right in front of a grandstand packed with 100,000 people. The military entries were Curtiss Hawk pursuit planes, the frontline fighters of the day. Their pilots were sharp, confident, and fully expected to take first, second, and third. The idea that a civilian airplane built by a small company in Kansas could keep up, let alone win, was not taken seriously. The flag dropped and they were off. Doug Davis in the mystery ship was fast from the start, scary fast. He was pulling away from the military fighters on the straights and holding his own in the turns. The right radial was screaming. The little monoplane was cutting through the air like it was made of something different than the biplanes chasing it. And lap after lap, Davis held the lead. The crowd went wild. This was not supposed to happen. The grandstand was on its feet watching this dark, unmarked civilian racer embarrass the pride of the United States military. Every lap, the mystery deepened. Who built this thing? Where did it come from? How is it so fast? Davis crossed the finish line first. He averaged just under 295 miles per hour around that course in 1929. In a civilian airplane built in Wichita, Kansas, let me say that again, 295 miles per hour in a pylon race, beating every military fighter in the country. The reaction was immediate. The military was embarrassed. The press was ecstatic. The name stuck. The Travel Air Mystery Ship became one of the most famous racing airplanes in history overnight, and the men behind it, Walter Beach, Herb Rawdon, the whole Travel Air team, proved something that mattered. Private industry could out-engineer the military. A small company with a good idea and talented people could build something faster than anything the government had. Now, What makes this story a real hanger tale is what happened next. The military took the lesson seriously. The loss at Cleveland in 1929 lit a fire under Army Air Corps procurement. They started pushing harder for monoplane fighters, for cleaner designs, for more speed. Historians have drawn a direct line from the mystery ship's victory to the acceleration of American fighter development in the 1930s. The biplanes were on their way out, and a little racer from Kansas helped push them there. Walter Beach, of course, went on to found the Beach Aircraft Company. Clyde Cessna went his own way and built the company that still bears his name. Herb Rawdon stayed with Beach and designed some of the most beautiful airplanes ever to come out of Wichita, including the Staggerwing, which itself became a legendary racer. The DNA of the mystery ship ran straight through decades of American aviation. As for Doug Davis, he was killed the following year in a crash at the 1930 National Air Races. He was only 32. Racing in that era was brutally dangerous, and Davis knew it every time he climbed into a cockpit. But on that day in Cleveland in 1929, he was the fastest man in the sky, and nobody saw it coming.
The surviving Travel Air Model R, the original mystery ship, has been restored and lives today at the Kansas Aviation Museum in Wichita. If you're ever passing through, go see it. Stand next to it. It is smaller than you expect. It looks almost delicate, and then you remember that it beat every military fighter in America in front of 100,000 people, and you start to understand that speed has never cared about the size of your budget or the letters on your tail. That's the kind of story that makes you proud to be in aviation. A couple of guys in Kansas with a good idea and a fast airplane changed the game. That is hangar flying at its finest. I pulled this one together from the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum archives, and Dan Hagedorn's excellent work on the early national air races. If you want more, go dig in. It's a rabbit hole worth falling into, I'm Tail Dragger. Catch us at radiohanger.com. Blue skies.